welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started in the Word of God this morning. We're going to take a look at a passage in Psalm, and this is Psalm 61. This is David crying out. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." This is a beautiful psalm where, you know, David is crying out. And of course, you can look at his life and a lot of the ebbs and flows and things that he came up against. And I'm so glad that we've got his prayers preserved, you know, as they were anointed by the Spirit of God. So we can come in behind some of these prayers and say, wow, that really captures my heart right now, things I'm going through. And as we look at this psalm, I think we can all identify, connect on some level as he's saying, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, I think it, you know, I'm not sure who gets credit for this. It might be Vince Lombardi, but the football coach, I think, said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. You know, when you're really tired, when you're exhausted, when you're like ready to faint and you're just overwhelmed, we all feel, you know, intimidated in that sense. I know what I got to do, but I can't do it. I mean, that can be everything from doing the right thing that you know you should do, and it's like, oh, or I know the Bible says this, but, or circumstances, situations. There's a lot of things that can cause our hearts to be overwhelmed, right? But what does he say? I mean, this, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In other words, I'm dealing with something, and I don't have the resources in me to deal with this thing. I'm dealing with something bigger than me. So it's kind of like, this thing's bigger than me, so I need the rock that is higher than I. I need to go someplace higher to be able to address this thing. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. So you see, he's crying out for safety. I'm coming up against something. I'm on the verge of fainting. And lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And this is what I love here, too, where it's like, lead me. God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is where faith is better than sight. This is where faith is better than feelings. Because if it is sight and if it is feelings, then it's checkmate. You're overwhelmed. But when it's not circumstances and feelings, when there's a faith that in the midst of being overwhelmed, your heart can still be led in that place. He said, in the middle of my being overwhelmed here, lead me. Lead me. What a beautiful heart cry to say, God, in the middle of this, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, this thing, you're still here. Lead me. Not just anywhere, but to the rock that is higher than I. So this morning, I just want to minister on the rock higher than I, okay? In other words, I'm overwhelmed. My ability, my strength equals X. The rock that is higher than I is Y, all right? I need God. I need his strength. I need his ability. God, in the middle of my overwhelmedness, if that's a word, lead me, guide me. And so it's amazing how when we look at the Word of God, we see so many times where he addresses that inflection point that the psalmist is going through. I got something that's too big for me, or it's new territory, or it's something. What do I do with this thing? I need a rock that is higher than I. I don't have what I need in of myself to deal with this. I need a rock that is higher than I. I'm so glad for his heart, for that candid outcry. And we're going to look at the Word of God this morning. And this is really going to be, it's going to be a message of invitations. We're going to see this invitation that God gives us in these spots where our heart is overwhelmed. We can't emotionally interpret and make judgments about God in these places where our heart is overwhelmed. We just know by faith, even though my heart is overwhelmed, God is still there and he's still leading me. Okay? So let's take a look at, these invitations where God leads us at these points where our heart is overwhelmed. First of all, there is a rock, we'll simply call it a rock of grace. Thank God for the rock of grace that he'll lead us to. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. That's quite a juxtaposition of thoughts. You're coming fearlessly and confidently and boldly for mercy for your failures. Now, how you're feeling when you've got mercy for your failures is your conscience is bothering you when we miss it. When you violate your conscience talks back to you. It bothers you, as it should. 1 John puts it this way in this point. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. You mean there's a rock that is higher than my heart? My heart is condemning? Yeah, I know it's an intimidating place. You know, there is no person who's more intimidating on this whole earth than you when your own heart's condemning you. That's the scariest person there is. But thank God, that's not too hard for God. There's still a rock that is higher than that. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. That's where we want to get back to. But we're overwhelmed maybe by something. We did. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There's a reason why God's greater than our heart, because there's a blood that's greater than our conscience. That where our sin is abounded, we can just obsess and stay in that place, or we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because there's a basis for that grace. These aren't just good feelings or flowery words. There was a real price that was paid, real blood that was shed to cleanse our conscience from dead works. In other words, I'm not coming in explaining, reasoning. I'm just coming in saying, forgive me. Cleanse me. Lord, help me. I'm humbling myself. You know, when you're at the part, when you're at this place where your own heart condemns you, it's important to understand, like I said, you violate your conscience, and your conscience is talking to you. And it's going, oh, I knew better. I shouldn't have done that. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and your conscience is talking to you. But you know what the Spirit of God is doing? He's leading you back to this place. The Holy Spirit leads you back to the throne of grace. In the middle of your conscience condemning you, the Holy Spirit in you will remind you, hey, there's still a throne of grace here. All right? Yeah. Is there anything greater than my heart? Yes, there is. Praise God. God is greater than your heart. He knows all things. Isn't that awesome? You know, when Adam and Eve fell, and he said, where are you? And Adam told him what he did. That's not when God found out that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, right? He knew the whole time. He knows all things. We can hide our hand from each other, but we can't hide our hand from him. And there's just coming to a realization. He knows he's still there, and there's still a throne of grace. And when I've got failure, I can fearlessly, confidently, and boldly come because of what Jesus did for me. And thank God, when I receive that forgiveness and cleansing, then it restores my confidence toward God. But I'll tell you what, this is where the enemy many times will get on our shoulder. When the Spirit of God is saying, come back to the throne of grace, the enemy say, no, you're out of chances. Forget it. You've gone back there too many times. You get X number, and you are already, you know, there's no way. He doesn't want to hear you confess that thing again. The thing about the enemy is he's a liar. And you're not out of chances. And you can keep coming back to that throne of grace. And you overcome things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You may not get it right the first time. There's an overcoming. And you'll come back, and you'll come back, and okay. And you begin to see through some things that you didn't see through before. And there's a process of overcoming. But the important thing to realize is there's a rock of grace that when my heart's overwhelmed, man, he hasn't left me. He isn't overwhelmed. He isn't overwhelmed by my own heart condemning. There's a place to go. That's amazing. I'm so glad he's that way. He wants to let us know that when we're, you know, when we're negotiating, my heart is condemning me. Am I going to go back to the throne of grace again? Kind of, we said this last week. Don't play hard to get with God's mercy and forgiveness. There's no other way, right? When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. There was no other way. Paul put it this way. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. Man, if my righteousness were through the works of the law, then Christ died for nothing. No, I gotta have the grace of God. I need the grace of God. Man, praise God for the grace of God. Whew. We are here today because of the grace of God. You know, and people who really grow in grace, and man, it's because you're coming back to that throne of grace where you're hanging out with God. And as you're negotiating, this is what we got to remember. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? For I'm persuaded, this is so amazing when your heart is overwhelmed. I am persuaded that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, it's all the spiritual warfare stuff, the demonic mind games, all the things that are presently, currently, situationally happening in your life, or things that may come down the pike. No height, no depth, no created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God, that's the rock that is higher than all those things. You know, we go through stuff, don't we, down here? Trouble, calamity. It doesn't shake God. Now, we feel overwhelmed emotionally, feeling circumstantially, and it might be checkmate in our mind, but it's not checkmate for the rock that is higher than I. That's why I got to go to the rock that is higher than I. I got more tools in my box up there than I just have in my own ability here, right? I mean, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think according to the power that works in me. So I got to go to that rock that is higher than I. So there is a rock of grace, and man, this is one where the Holy Spirit is just leading me as a pastor to minister that message of grace, that we're strong in the grace of God. There is one thing, if there's one thing the enemy, if he can talk you out of, it's the grace of God. Going back to that place where, what? Because like we said this last week, he doesn't just want to forgive our sins for the sake of forgiving our sins. He's forgiving our sins so that we can get back into fellowship with him again. Because when your conscience isn't fighting you, what happens? You have confidence toward God. What happens in that place of confidence toward God? You begin to hear God again. You begin to hear his voice again. Nothing like hearing his voice again. And you have confidence toward God. That's what he wants. He just wants to be able to restore that. You don't have to even have the answers. You may not even know what you're going to do next. But you know one thing, that blood can cleanse your conscience. And that's faith, right? I'm not looking for a feeling for that. When I'm doing this in real life, I'm just saying, Father, I come boldly before the throne of grace. You know, your heart's overwhelmed. And you know what? You might not go to the throne of grace right away when your heart's overwhelmed. Sometimes when our hearts are overwhelmed, we can do other things. But just because you did other things doesn't mean you can't do the throne of grace now. You can still come to the throne of grace. God loves you. When you're thinking of God's love, don't just think brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. You know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so's patience can run out with you before God. Do you understand? If you're just thinking you got somebody's mind, and you're, get them out of your mind. This is the love of God we're talking about. I mean, that's him. So I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace when my heart condemns me. I don't care who says what or who thinks what. I need God. Need his mercy. Need his cleansing. Amen? So there's a rock. There's a rock of grace that we need. We just got to come back to the love of God and just say, thank you, Lord. I receive forgiveness and cleansing. It's the same way when you receive salvation. You knew you couldn't earn your salvation, right? Same way when your heart's condemning you. You can't earn a cleansing of your conscience. They're both a gift. They're both based on the blood of Jesus. We come back with that same simple childlike humility and say, thank you, Lord. I receive forgiveness. And he says, if you confess your sin, two things happen. You receive forgiveness of your sins and cleansing from all unrighteousness. What is that? That's the cleansing of your conscience from those dead works. In other words, you let that blood not only forgive sin, but you let it cleanse your conscience. And say, Lord, here I am. I'm back again because of your grace. You know, that's... God loves that. Why? Because he wants your heart to be confident toward him again so you can hang out, fellowship, get back up, go on with God. So there's a rock of grace. We need that rock of grace. It's higher than I. It's higher than a condemning conscience. The blood is greater. Where our sin is abounded, that grace much more abounded. It can cleanse a conscience. And no matter what the enemy or life throws at us, cannot. There's a rock. There's a love that is higher than all that stuff. Thank God. Just good to know that when our heart's overwhelmed, that God hasn't left us. The other thing is a rock of what I'm just going to call restoration, all right? There is sometimes, again, you're kind of going through some stuff, and it's just heavy on your soul. Your heart is overwhelmed. And a lot of times this can be relating to life situations and life stuff, and my goodness, on this planet, when sin entered into the world, there's all kind of consequences and things that happen, stuff of our own making, stuff collateral from other stuff, but we live in a world, think about this, we live on a fallen planet, cursed, that's under a curse, that is full, right now, for a limited time here, the god of this world, Satan, with powers and principalities and demonic influences. That for a short period of time, they're here. But we're here during that time. So we realize that we've got a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of things that just living down here we can experience. Not to mention our own flesh, our own fallen flesh that we got to deal with, and other people's flesh that we got to deal with. So when you begin to look at the lay of the land here, there's a lot of things that can trip us up, make us heavy. Just life can happen. And so there is a beautiful, I just call it a rock of restoration. And this is, it's kind of like a rock of strengthening restoration, but the scripture, here's another invitation in the middle of that. Jesus says, come to me. Again, this is the invitation. Who Jesus should come to you? Who do you want to come to you? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. He's saying, I want you. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and meek and humble and lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. My burden is light, easy to be borne. What a beautiful invitation to a certain group of people. He's being very clear. In other words, you could say, hey, I'm a safe place. Come to me. And you know what? When you're in that situation, when whatever life throws at you or complex situation and all that, he's not even saying, come here and I'm going to give you the answer to your question. He's saying, no, I'm just going to give you rest for your soul. We want the answer. We want to know. And God's saying, you just need to lie down on the green pastures for a little bit. You need to look out across the still waters. Let me restore your soul a little bit. Then I'll lead you to those paths of righteousness. But first things first, he invites us to come. He invites us to come and to lie down. And what does he say? I'm gentle, meek, humble, lowly. He has a yoke, but you know who it is who's behind the yoke. He's kind, he's gracious, and he's saying, I want you to come. I'm going to cause you to rest, to be restored. In other words, there's something more important than the answer to your question, and that's just the restoration and the strength for your soul. Because when, and again, it doesn't, you know, sometimes obviously sin can wear us out and different things like that, but just situations in life can get us spinning and wear us out mentally and emotionally as we have to deal with stuff. And again, we want that answer. We want that breakthrough. And God's just saying, let me restore your soul first. There's a rock of restoration. Come to me, all who are overwhelmed in this way, and I'm going to cause you to rest. Now, beautiful passage in Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a beautiful promise of God to renew our strength. And I think this is just such a beautiful picture, of course, the way the Word of God puts it here. But it's also important to see that many times when we're overwhelmed, that and we feel that place of vulnerability, to just recognize that He'll renew our strength. And we can come unto him in that place. Again, the Spirit that's going to lead me to the rock that is higher than I, he's going to lead me to this place that is higher than I. Now, I just want to say this, and I just want to clarify a few things. Because a lot of times when we talk about coming to God and spending time with God, and we get the idea of a devotion time, and serving God and reading the Bible and praying and all that kind of stuff, the first thing that triggers spiritually is, I'm not doing that enough. I'm not doing that. Yeah, my devotion time. Yeah, I got to have a better devotion time. And these feelings of heaviness are connected to, in the sense that God's mad at me because I have not had my devotion time. God's mad at me because I haven't been spending time with him like I should. These feelings of heavy, in other words, I'm just saying subtly, subliminally, whatever you want to say it, I'm just saying, having been around the block a few times in my own devotional time, when I'm feeling that heavy ladenness, I feel like it's coming from God because I haven't had my devotion time. Like, oh, shame on me for not having my devotion time. Do we need devotion times? Absolutely. But it's important to understand when God calls us to come to him, that I'm not coming to God, I'm not coming unto him and spending some time in word and spending some time in prayer to merit some kind of blessing from him, to get some kind of approval from him. I remember being in one of these situations, and I came unto him. I was, you know, hurt, and I just needed to come to him, and I remember I just worshiped, had a worship playlist, and began to worship God, and I just remember getting stirred up and just feeling strengthened again, and just crying and just saying something to this effect. to the effect that, oh God, I just, you really love me. I'm so glad you really love me. You know, and he was saying, no, Ed, I'm not telling you that I love you. You just ate spiritually and you got strengthened. Do you understand me? But while I was a sinner, God loved me. When I feel the spirit and the power and the strength, that's not the evidence that God loves me. You're just fueling up. You're getting strengthened. This is where breaking a religious idea over what a devotion time is and seeing it in light of what Jesus says it is and what the Word says it is, I'm opening my Bible to receive strength and help and nourishment. This, you know, I was in Cub Scouts as a kid growing up. We would do things like this and check off boxes to get a merit badge. And if I'm reading my Bible with merit badge mentality and I stop reading my Bible, then my merit is gone. My merited favor for reading my Bible is gone. No, this is food. This is spiritual food for me. And let me say this, it's no more of a sin for me to be weak than it is for my car to be on E. Do you understand? Our car just needs fuel to keep going. We do too. Now, the form of a devotion time is one way that we get our fuel. But understand it is for what it is. God's love for me is not based on the success of my devotion time. Praise God. Amen, amen. Where would we all be if you had to have a perfect devotion time? It's important to understand this rock that is higher than I. Because a lot of times what we'll do spiritually is we'll compartmentalize things like that. You know, and we can even have good habits. But I, you know, you can have, okay, in the morning I'm going to have a devotion time. That's a good practice. Again, it's not a spiritual credential or a merit. It's just food. When you're going to have a devotion time, see yourself like a car on that gas station. That's what's happening. Do you understand that? If you're driving down the road in your car and you're on fumes, and you're saying, oh, I should have refilled when it was a quarter of a tank. I should have refilled. Just go to the gas station and get full. You know, once you're full, it doesn't matter how empty you were before, right? You're full. So Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, just getting filled up. There's a rock that is higher than I, but it's not a religious devotion time. I'm breaking that paradigm. These words are spirit and they're life. You don't have to know the whole Bible. You can just go to a couple verses. Just feed on the few verses. Say, God, here I go. It's amazing how you can just go, I'm just going to read a few verses of this chapter. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit inside of you will remind you of something that was said in that chapter that might bring you to another thing. Bring you to another thing. Who knows? But I'm feeding in faith. I'm listening. I'm worshiping God in the Spirit. Like this morning, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We're just singing. We're worshiping God. But something's happening on the inside. There's a filling up that's taking place. But that was intentional. You didn't have to wait for an inspiration to worship God. We just worshiped the Lord. We just went there. You know, our worship team just goes there. You say, whether you follow them in or not, they're going there. You got a chance to go in there with them. But that's what we do. We're intentional about worshiping God. Right? And that's amazing how you can be intentional about filling up your gas tank. You don't have to wait for a sign to fill up your gas tank. That gauge is your sign. When you're weak and spiritually weak, a lot of times we can come to erroneous interpretations about God. When we're feeling weak, God doesn't hear me. God doesn't care. God doesn't. And sometimes the answer there is just get, when you're tired, get filled up. Get filled up on the Spirit of God. Get filled up on the strength of His Spirit, the strength of His words. And as far as doing this, again, we can kind of be religious in the way we approach this sometimes. I got my devotion time, and I've done this too. I got my devotion time in the morning, that's when I do it. And then I'm off to work, and I'm off to everything else. But I did my spiritual devotion time, and that's good. Good to have a spiritual devotion time. But to understand that when your spiritual time is done and you're going off into the real world doing work and real things and people and relationship, you're bringing God with you. And it doesn't take a lot. You know what the scripture says in Proverbs? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Good to have a big prayer time, fuel time. We need that. But even throughout your day, I don't care if you have a job that puts you on the phone 8 hours a day and you're having to pick up the phone and call. When you pick up that phone call, you can just say, Lord, give me grace for this call. I need your help. Thank you for it. I acknowledge you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 seconds. It doesn't have to be a big, long, dragged-out prayer time. Just acknowledge. There's just something about that. And that you can just stay fueled up. Have you ever had that where something cool really happened and then you remember, oh, yeah, I prayed about that. Oh, yeah, I prayed. I didn't feel really inspired when I prayed, but I prayed. I acknowledged him. And how about that? He answered my prayer. It's an amazing revelation. And that's where we're also invited when it comes to strength. Paul has some amazing prayers. We can just be intentional here too. Ephesians, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that's just a good prayer. Father, I just pray that you would strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a New Testament person coming unto the Lord, this amazing covenant, to receive that strength. It's a New Testament promise. In Colossians, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, for what? For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the way he starts that out, you know, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, you think it's going to be to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils? No. Strengthened with all might, all power for what? So you can be patient. And you can suffer long and have joy. You know, sometimes those are the things you need the most strength for. Love suffers long and is kind. Do you know you can pray for strength to love? In other words, 1 Corinthians 13 isn't just there to nag you that love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it doesn't parade itself, it doesn't seek its own. It's there to tell you what it looks like so you know when you're off. But thank God the Spirit's there to strengthen you to do it, right? My personality type can't fit that definition for 1 Corinthians 13. Nobody's personality type can. You need the love of God shed abroad in your heart to be able to do that. Sometimes you need to pray, strengthen me, Lord. Because there's some things I want to do right now that I know are not God. And I need to be strengthened with might by your Spirit. I need to be intentional. What am I doing? I'm just filling up. I'm filling up. I know this doesn't sound spiritual inspirational, but being a disciplined person and a disciple isn't about inspiration. It's about discipline. I would rather be spiritually disciplined with no inspiration than yield to the flesh with full inspiration. You understand? It's not about inspiration. It's about doing what I know is right. And man, there's something about this. Thank God there's a rock that is higher than I when I'm exhausted. Not just physically, yes, but spiritually. Just trying to do the right thing. Thank God. So when we're looking at that, we're simply calling it the rock of restoration. So that's the thing that I just really want to get across, though, too. You know, just understand the purpose of your devotion time. We're human. We're in a fallen condition. We naturally gravitate toward pride. And I don't mean to say that like shame, condemn. I'm just, we got it to deal with. It's like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I want to live right, but then the law of sin and death is in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind. Because I was born into that condition. Not because I missed it. It's just the condition I'm born into. So there's a tendency to want to reorientate a devotion time to be something that it isn't. Sometimes I'll just say this out loud. I'm coming to you, Father. I'm coming, Lord, to eat of your word. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus, you know, describes as eating his words and drinking of his Spirit. Lord, this is my food. This is my nourishment. This is my daily bread. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm gassing up. I need you. But to see it from that vantage point. So the next time I feel weak, I know I got to go to the gas station. Not shame on me for not going to the gas station, so just keep driving. You know? No. that weakness, it's good. It's good to have that alert of weakness. Praise God for it. You know, and sometimes I'll say that. It's like, I don't want to do the right thing. I'm just going, hey, Ed, you're just weak. You just need to get fueled up. You know, it's like we say, your car's running on E. We don't throw the car away. Good car. We just get it fueled up. You're a good car. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't have to throw yourself under the bus. Just get fueled up with the word. That's the functional purpose of a devotion time. All right? Just trying to keep that in the right perspective. So if you've missed your chapter and your year program is off by 37 days or whatever it is, not living under the condemnation of that, the word is there to feed and to be nourished. He loves you. He's the rock that is higher than you. Come unto me, all you who've blown your daily devotion times. Do you understand? Come back. I'm not going to say, where have you been for the last 37 days? Nope. He's going to come back, and he's going to say, here's grace to help in your time of need. Boy, God has to be the good guy, doesn't he? The enemy frames God as the bad guy, but he's the good guy, always the good guy. Even if we're faithless, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. This is who loves us, who loved us while we were sinners, who loves us now that we're his children. But when our heart is overwhelmed, there is a rock, praise God, of restoration that we can come find rest for our souls. We can pray and be intentional. Finally, there's just the rock of fellowship, okay? And this is the one that, to me, everything really builds to. Jesus was giving some instruction to the churches in the book of Revelation, and this is an instruction that he gave one of the churches. He said, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Now, he's not writing this to the sinner. He's writing this to the church. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. We've been talking about some different ways that our souls can be overwhelmed. Certainly, shame and guilt or the things that are going on in life and just tiredness, different things like that. But there's also something we deal with sometimes, an indifference. When, in other words, you're just kind of, it almost feels like you're treading water. You know, it's like you know what you should do. You know you should get ready to really live all out for God. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of a, it's a frustrating thing. This place of indifference. It's kind of a place where, you know, you kind of remember the good old days when you were really walking with God. But now it's like, you know, I still love God, I still believe in God, but man, that place. And it can be easy to just stay in a place of indifference. And a lot of times indifference is there for a reason, because there is something that's keeping us there. Now, we can be indifferent there because of why God questions sometimes too. Something happens, and I don't know why. And it's like, I'm not going all in again because I remember the last time I went all in, you know. And there's just a place of indifference. It's not that your theology has changed or anything like that, but Jesus addresses this. He says, you know, sometimes you can have where you have a relationship, and it's just like an indifference. You used to have a really close relationship. Now it's not a close relationship. There's just kind of an indifference there. Jesus is saying that I used to have something with you, Ed, and there's an indifference there, and I want you to turn from that indifference. Now, he's talking about correction here, right? There's a be diligent and turn from your indifference. But then he goes on to say, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in. We'll share a meal together as friends, almost like as we have before. You know, like the good old days. Turn from your indifference. I'm knocking. Let's go. I'm here. Do you know a good shepherd is that way? A good shepherd will leave the 99 and knock at the door. Does the good shepherd have to leave the 99 and knock at your door? Spoiler alert. Yes. We all have had the good shepherd knock on our door. He's had to leave and come. He knocks on your door for a reason. He's challenging that indifference, in other words. He's saying, let my voice through. The indifference, like I said, doesn't necessarily change your theology. You're just not opening your ears to God. You believe all this stuff, and it's good, and it's fine. You remember the good old days, but there's a vulnerability where he wants to come in. And your heart can be overwhelmed in a way that it's just indifferent. It's just like, you know, sometimes we use the expression, I don't want to go there. But when where there is fellowship with God, we need to go there. We need to open our heart. There's an indifference that we say, no, it's going to be different. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to share a meal together. In other words, this is kind of the cool thing too, as you look, get this in its entirety. He says, I'm correcting, turn, but let me come in. We'll share a meal together as friends. In other words, he's not going to come in there. He's not going to come into your house and just start pointing out dirty rooms. He's not coming in there to do that. He's not coming in there as Inspector 13 or whatever to get it, make sure the walls are clean and all that. He's coming in there to share a meal. This is a beautiful thing about our Lord. Because it's in the sharing of the meal that you can learn and find out what to do about different stuff in the house. He's not coming in there to condemn. He's coming in there to share a meal. And sometimes you might have why God questions, but he needs you to let him in so you can talk to him about those questions, so you can fellowship about those questions. That's where this verse that we're about to see, I see in context with this verse in terms of Revelation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You're at the table now, right? You're sitting at the table. You let him in. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And again, we put a premium on knowing the answer and having the next steps and all that. God puts a premium on other things. You can talk it out at the table, and you experience a peace that passes your understanding. Do you know there is a blessing and a satisfaction in simply being heard? Whether the person may agree or not agree, but you really feel like you genuinely were able to get what's in your heart out. That's what the Lord invites us to. We could have our why God questions. We could be frustrated. We can be looking at some injustices or things like that. Things that might trip us up. Again, it's not that we don't believe in God, but we're just not really all in. Indifference. I'll say this. In the same way that shame and guilt can talk to you and make you feel like you're just an evil, ugly sinner and you just can't ever get it right. He'll try to talk you out of the grace of God. And the tiredness can talk to you and draw conclusions about God. Indifference also talks to us. It subtly talks to us. Yeah, you're not the same person you were before. Yeah, you're kind of seeing through some things. And yeah, there's, you know, different things that aren't right, and here's the problem with the body of Christ over there. And yeah, you know, and all of a sudden, you can take on an identity of indifference and be okay with it. Don't. God is calling us right here. Turn from indifference. Let me come in. Let me share a meal together. Another church, he said, you're lukewarm, you're hot or cold. He said, I want you to be hot. I want you to be all in. Return to that first love. Come in. Let me come in again. Where you have indifference talk to you, where you can just kind of be okay with just kind of being, okay, I'm kind of riding it. No. There's a place that things are affecting you more than you realize. But we all know what it's like to come into Jesus and experience that and to walk by faith, and something knocks us off our game and kind of make us a little, not that I know, but am I going to get back all in again? Yes, we're going to get back all in again. When my heart is overwhelmed with indifference, God leads me. He knocks on my door and says, let me come back in. Let me share a meal with you. Let me get you out of that place of indifference where we're talking again. Where every little thing in your heart, you just get it out in prayer to God. And what's the exchange for that? A peace. that passes your understanding, keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're not attacked with anxiety anymore. It doesn't mean that things still don't come against your mind. But that's where you can say, Lord, I thank you. I've prayed about that. I'm trusting you with that in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to understand that. And this is the way I will do this. When I've prayed about something, I experience his peace, and I experience an attack about something that'll come later, even after I've prayed and experienced peace. I'll say this. I'll say, Father God, I've prayed about that, and I thank you, Lord, that as I've prayed about that, you're going to show me by revelation. You're going to make clear to me the wisdom that's from above. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruit. You're going to reveal to me what I need to do about that. I'm not going to spin in hypotheticals. That's not your voice. No. That is a voice that's pure and peaceable. So when that thought will come by, what about this? What about this? What about this? Say, Father, I've prayed. I've cast that care on you, and I'm keeping it on you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you're going to reveal what I need to know about that when I need to know about it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just standing in faith. Standing in there. And that's really the next verse that says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy, you know, meditate on these things. That's the follow through to that. You have permission to not have to go negative. Why? Because you prayed. Right? So I prayed about it. And that's the question you got to ask yourself. Have I prayed about this? Because if you haven't prayed about it, then you need to go back to that table, that meal, and pray about it. And just let it off your heart. If you prayed about it, say, I prayed about that. Thank you, Lord. You're going to show me what I need to know when I need to know it. That's faith. God will bless that. God will honor that. But it's important to understand that we've got these places to go. There's a rock that is higher than I in all different circumstances of life. And no matter what it is, and no matter how shaken we are in our soul and how we're feeling and going through stuff, he's there. Nothing can separate us from his love. His grace is there. There's a rock of restoration. He gives power to the faint. My strength is going to come from him. It's not that I'm going to buck up and be stronger or pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No, that's all out. It's a humbling myself and say, God, I need your word. I need your strength. I just worship you to get filled with your spirit. I just need the life. It's an amazing thing, too. Even when you come into church on a Sunday morning and you experience a little praise and worship, it's not like, oh, we just sang a few songs. No, you experience a strengthening with might by his spirit in the inner man. That happens in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a filling up of the Holy Spirit. And that's just a powerful way we're staying connected in that vital fellowship with God. So praise God, the rock that is higher than I. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for your grace, for your peace. We thank you that we've always got a place to go. No matter how we're feeling, no matter how bad things look, we're just so grateful, Lord, that we've got a place in you. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are the rock that is higher than I. You're not afraid of my stuff. I'm so glad I can come to you. No matter what I do, there's forgiveness. There's mercy. Even when my heart condemns me, you're greater than my heart. The blood of Jesus is greater than my sin. I receive forgiveness and I receive cleansing from all unrighteousness. So my heart is bold toward you. And I thank you, Lord, that I've got a place to go to get filled up with your strength. It's a safe place. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And you invite me to come. So I come, Lord. Strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man so that I can have patience with joy. My strength comes from you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're with me and that I can look to you all the days of my life, walking in fellowship with you in the cool of the day. Thank you for never giving up on me. I'm not going to give up either. I'm going to live all out for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Praise God. The Lord loves you. There's nothing can separate you from that love. And I'm just believing right now, even as you prayed that, just the Spirit of God, just ministering, reconnecting, beginning to show you things. You know, when you do have that sense of indifference and then you're at the table and you're praying about something, that's cool. But when you get something, you open your heart to let Him through the door, then you're opening your heart for His voice to come through again. That's a sweet thing. Because when you're remembering the good old days when you heard God's voice and now you're hearing His voice again, that's what He wants. He wants you to hear His voice again, now, to enjoy that sweet fellowship with Him. Amen. Praise God.